defending your freedom every single day.
On the Car Arms Platinum Microphone from the GunBroker.com studios.
This is Armed American Radio's Daily Defense. Here's your host, Mark Walters.
Indeed. Welcome inside Armed American Radio's GunBroker.com studios here with me on this Car Arms Platinum Microphone Friday. What a crazy, bizarro, upside-down week this has been, month this has been. I mean, just... So I'm just going to jump right into one of my favorite people on earth and get some insight from someone who has the ability to kind of calm me down a little bit, and that's Dave Workman over at the Second Amendment Foundation offices out in Bellevue, Washington. Dave, how are you, brother?
Well, I'm a lot better than I was when we talked about an hour ago. It looks like Donald Trump has knocked one over the center field fence with the stock market. So maybe I will be retiring in 10 years or so.
Well, you know, listen, that's one of those deals where this is just good regular advice, and that is if you're in the market and you're taking a pounding, I am, millions of Americans are, you ride it out, you do what you do. I've got a couple of aggressive funds, and they've taken a beating. But you know what? It is the best performing. It will always outperform any other investment, and all of this will come back once this. Now, I want to talk with you about this media hype, this hysteria, because you wrote a piece, Dave, and essentially it is, I guess I'll just, without looking at it, is it as bad as it should be? Is it as bad as they say it is, really, or is it a combination of both? Is there a coronavirus pandemic or just hysteria or both? Go for it.
Yeah, it's, and you know, I think that was a, and it still is, actually, it's a reasonable question. Is it really a pandemic that we all ought to be terrified of, or are we all being terrified by press sensationalization, or is it a combination of both? I mean, you know, when a guy like you or me goes to the supermarket and finds the shelves bare where there should be right. paper towels and toilet paper, you know, there's something going wrong here. So,
well, yeah, let me give you a real life. Let's talk real life. I love doing this because it's real life. Everybody in America is experiencing this. Now, Dave, you know my thoughts on the mainstream media. They're driving a ton of this. A lot of this is absolute hysteria from the mainstream media. It's hysterical reporting. The snowball's gained so much snow, it's rolling downhill. It's not stoppable now. I mean, you know, this smoke is out of the bottle. The genie's out of the bottle. There's no putting this back in. We've gotten to a point of no return with this coverage, and it's just going to scare the crap out of people, the bejesus out of people, for weeks to come until they find something else they want to start reporting on, because eventually both the media and Americans are going to tire of this reporting. And when they do, all of a sudden it's going to be like, my gosh. Because, Dave, if you go over to Drudge Report right now and you look at some of these headlines, up to 1.7 million dead Americans, 100 million, 150 million infected Americans, this is crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah, I know it. All that does is terrify people who,
correct,
if they've been using their gray matter that we all have between our ears, they would take the time to read some of the information that's been done by very reliable experts on this sort of thing, that 80% of the people who come down with this are going to come out of it just fine. They'll suffer, like, you know, the symptoms of a cold or a mild case of the flu. There are going to be some people who are going to be sick. I mean, let's face it, there are people who are going to get really sick.
Sure.
You know, we've had the most deaths of anywhere in the United States has been actually just up the road from my office here in the city,
correct,
of Kirkland,
Seattle,
at a rest home.
Yeah.
And all of those people, from what I could understand, have been elderly folks. You know, they were in a retirement home of some sort, and because they got the virus, you know, they got sick, and you know, I presume it complicated some other problems that they had, and sadly they passed away. But if you're healthy, if you take precautions, if you wash your hands, and I would say you wash your face, and you know, don't go running around shaking hands with every stranger that you meet on the street. If you do that stuff and you do it smart, you should be fine. You know, we've seen much worse in this country. Gosh, I was shown the gravesite of my dad's older sister, who she died in childhood during the flu epidemic back in, I think it was 1918 mm-hmm. or 1919. And, you know, a lot of people died at that time because of a flu epidemic. But now, you know, we've got the smartest doctors on the planet in this country. We've got medicines. And it was like I posted on social media the other day. This is the United States. We fix stuff. We cure diseases. Hell, we put a man on the moon. We put a lot of men on the moon. Show me where anybody else has done that. You know, we do stuff. We saved the world twice in 1918 and again in the 1940s. You know, this is the United States.
You know, I like hearing you talk like that because it's true. We people watch this coverage and they go bonkers. They go berserk. They go nuts. Let me get to a little personal experience. I've had a lot of email from gun owners over the last few days, and I want to talk with you a little bit about being prepared because that's really, really important, and it's not something that you should, when it comes time to get prepared, you should already be prepared. We'll explain that in just a minute, listener. But, Dave, I was at a grocery store yesterday. I wanted to put something on my grill, so I went over, and I was like, man, you know, I don't feel like going to Costco. I have a feeling there's going to be a crowd over there. So I went to a local Publix. It was packed. It was 6:15 on a Thursday, and it was packed. So I took a couple things over to the counter to where you get the lottery tickets, and I said, hey, can I pay for these here if I get a lottery ticket so I don't have to wait in line? She said, sure. I said, is it always like this at 6:15 on a Thursday? She starts cracking up. She says, no. She says, it's unbelievable. People are freaking out like we're not going to be open tomorrow. I've never seen anything like this. And again, this is the hysterical coverage that has people going absolutely bonkers. And what happens, and it's normal. It's normal psychology. Dave, people begin to believe. They're like, oh, maybe this is. And then you got to sit back and get your head back together and go, no, hold on a second. I need to chill out a little bit. And that's what people need to do.
Right.
People need to chill out.
Right.
Let's start with some preparation, Dave. We talked about this off air earlier today. I come from hurricane country. I've always got stuff. I've got 3 months of food. I got a ton of ammo, and I got lots of guns. I'm good to rock and roll. Isn't that what we should be? We should have some of these things already stored no matter where we live?
Oh, sure. You cannot predict any kind of a natural disaster. Washington State, we're sitting on top of some of the worst earthquake faults anywhere on the planet. I remember back in 1980, in May of 1980, when Mount St. Helens exploded.
Right on.
And I was working that morning at the old Fishing and Hunting News. And I'd actually, about a month before that, one of the guys on the copy desk had asked me, hey, why don't you do a story on the worst possible scenario in case this mountain blows up, what it could mean to fish and game. And so I did that, and I interviewed one of the main geology guys down there who was watching the mountain kind of shake itself to life. After I got done writing the story and we published it, I took a lot of crap from people who, you're just trying to interject yourself into the story. You just write about fishing and hunting stuff. And then 3 weeks later, the mountain explodes. It's all over the place. And there I was sitting in kind of a catbird situation because everything that I had written about actually came to pass. There was this huge hot mud flow that came down, I think it was the Klamath River, and wiped out the steelhead and salmon fishery in there. Killed thousands of elk and deer. Destroyed thousands of square miles of habitat and forest. And I remember, several years later, they were doing kind of an anniversary deal on the explosion of Mount St. Helens, and one of the guys called me up and said, hey, why don't you write a few pieces or a few lines for the newspaper? So I did that, and I said, this is one time as a newsman that I was right, and I wished I was wrong.
Well, I'm going to give the moral. There's a moral to this story here, though, and a really simplistic one in my simple brain, and that is, if you live near, I've just been told 30, okay, so this is a good way to take it to the break, Dave, we'll do that. But if you live near an active volcano, you might want to have some stuff ready. If you live in hurricane country, you might want to expect a hurricane. If you live in Tornado Alley or Dixie Alley, you might want to expect that you might hit it. You know, from time to time, the winds might pick up and you might hear that familiar roar of that freight train coming that you hear everybody talk about. It's called being prepared for anything that could happen. And that's exactly where we're at today. When we come back from the break, we're going to continue the conversation. I've got Dave working with me for the hour live on the Armed American Radios. And I love this. Car Arms Platinum Microphone in the GunBroker.com studios. We'll be back with Dave Workman right after this.
America was founded through the blood of hard-fighting, hard-drinking men. Men who believed in freedom and whiskey, who laid down their lives and their fortunes, forging the bedrock of this republic, and in doing so created a new species of man, the American. Lead Slinger's Whiskey was founded by seven combat veterans who were tired of people afraid to support the Second Amendment. Together, they brought their love of American bourbon whiskey to freedom-loving, like-minded Americans. For more information and to read the story of Lead Slinger's Whiskeys and Rum, visit LeadSlingersWhiskey.com today.
It's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. I'm Alan Gottlieb, founder of the Second Amendment Foundation. When someone says, we don't need that kind of gun, remind them the Founding Fathers determined what rights our Constitution should protect. There's a world of difference between rights and needs. It is not the function of government to tell us what we need or what we don't. Certainly no one needs an assault rifle or a Saturday Night Special, or for that matter, no one needs a Corvette with a high-capacity horsepower engine capable of speeds to 150 miles per hour. But in the hands of honest, responsible individuals, we have the right of choice. We have the right to read books others don't like. We have the right to listen to any radio program we choose. We have the right to dress the way we want to. We also have the right to own firearms of our choice. So the next time someone tells you, you don't need something, tell them it's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. Join the Second Amendment Foundation today so that this message and our Bill of Rights might live. Call 425-454-7012. That's 425-454-7012.
From Crossbreed Holsters comes the Women's Appendix. With softer leather and smoother corners, the Women's Appendix holster was designed specifically with the female body in mind. This holster is intended for popular small firearms and has no cant, so it can be worn on the front side of the body. Featuring a crossbreed hand-molded pocket for a perfect fit, we ensure the Women's Appendix is your answer for any woman who wants to carry a small firearm in a front position. This versatile holster can be worn in the standard appendix or cross-draw fashion. Find your perfect fit today at crossbreedholsters.com.
You've helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today, and now Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO, wants to give back to you, my listeners. You can get deep discounts on all MyPillow products if you go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the new radio listener specials. Mike heard me talk about his pillows on air and joined us on Armed American Radio. I'm getting a much better night's sleep, and you can get deep discounts on MyPillows, mattresses, toppers, bed sheets, and so much more. For example, right now they're bringing back the buy one, get one offer for the MyPillows. That's right. Buy one MyPillow, get another one absolutely free. Remember, all MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the new radio listener specials and get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the buy one, get one free for the MyPillows. Enter promo code AAR or call 800-978-9358 for these great radio specials.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Car, the 25th anniversary K9 and the venerable P9 in various configurations. Magnum Research, the classic Desert Eagle available in 50, 44, 357, and the new 429 DE calibers. The BFR, biggest, finest revolvers, and the Magnum Light. Auto Ordnance, the classics, Thompson, that's right, the Tommy Gun, the incredible M1 carbine, and the one and only classic 1911. Car Firearms, a family of brands standing for your family's freedom.
Celebrating 20 years in business, GunBroker.com is the world's largest online marketplace to buy and sell firearms, ammunition, and accessories. With over 1 million auctions daily, you can expect to find a limitless number of top brand names on GunBroker.com. Sellers, you can reach nearly 5 million registered users on GunBroker.com. And buyers, you can buy with confidence knowing GunBroker.com respects your privacy and is the only online marketplace offering buyer's protection. Buy or sell your next firearm on GunBroker.com today.
This upcoming segment of Armed American Radio is being sponsored by GunBroker.com, the world's largest online marketplace to buy and sell firearms, ammo, and related accessories. That's GunBroker.com. Welcome back to the show. Welcome back to the show, indeed. You are in the GunBroker.com studios with me live today on this Car Arms Platinum microphone. I'm with the great Dave Workman out there in beautiful Bellevue, Washington. Dave, welcome back to the program. Let's just keep this rocking and rolling if we can. You know, we were talking about preparation in the previous segment. Let's go a step further. I think the general consensus is that people should have things, regardless of where they live, in the event something like this happens and people fall for all this hysterical reporting and they go out and wind up cramming grocery stores. I've seen fights on TV, you know, films, people thinking they need to have, you know, 50 gazillion bottles of water and bread for whatever reason. Got to have bread and milk in a hurricane. Don't know why. I'd never eat. I guess when hurricanes come, you just have to start eating bread and drinking milk. But that's what people do. They panic and they freak. Now, two things I want to cover with you. We agree that we need to have stuff, right? That's number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, I'm not concerned as much about the virus. I mean, obviously nobody wants to get sick, okay? And the thing can make you sick. No question about it. It's out there, and people are going to get sick from it. I'm more concerned about the panic induced from the fear created by ginned up hype that we see. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, and I think we've seen this in the past in some areas where there has been, you know, social unrest, for example, or maybe a natural disaster. Who among us can forget the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina? When there was no law enforcement for, I think, about 72 hours, and then when the authorities finally did get organized, the first thing that they wanted to do because of that former mayor down there was take the guns away from the good guys. And that's when the Second Amendment, your right to keep and bear arms, comes in the handiest, when it becomes the most important, because when there is a breakdown of the social fabric, and you've got a family and a home to defend, and you've got to make sure that they've got not only a safe place to live, but something to eat while you try to survive whatever calamity it is. You've got to protect that from people who are either too lazy or they just are natural-born predators. Yeah. And the only way to do that is to discourage them with the muzzle of a firearm in a lot of cases. And we saw that happening after Katrina. We've seen that happen down in Florida in the past. I remember when I was a kid, I think Life magazine ran a photo of a guy sitting outside of his own gun shop down in Florida someplace. He had an M1 carbine, and he was seated next to a National Guardsman who had a rifle, and I think the bayonet was fixed on that rifle. They were protecting the goods in that store because there was nobody else to do it. And this is where the Second Amendment becomes really important, and you can see the wisdom of those old dead white guys who made sure that the right to keep and bear arms, that natural individual right, was enumerated in the Constitution. There's no better way to explain that.
You know, I that takes me back to we remember Hurricane Andrew.
Oh, yeah.
Early 1992 in August. I was living in Florida, just recently moved there in, I believe, 91. I don't even remember. It's been so long ago. But I was heading down to the Keys, and I stopped along the way around Homestead area to get gas. And I drove through that devastation, and I will never forget. I have an old Polaroid Instamatic. You know the old Kodak Instamatics that slide out? And you got to wait.
Oh, yeah. Until
I have a photograph of a couple of them somewhere in this house, probably an old shoebox somewhere. People even get shoeboxes anymore? I don't know. And of individuals sitting on top of what was left of the wall or what was a facade of their home, and it painted on there, "You loot, we shoot, looters will be shot on sight." I have photographs of that, and of individuals walking down devastated, completely destroyed streets, flattened, leveled, homes completely gone. It was unbelievable devastation, with shotguns over their shoulders and pistols on their sides, and police officers driving by, nobody being bothered. These individuals were protecting what was left of what they had, and they had rebuilt very quickly a 7-Eleven, which became a focal point of where people could go and get things. I walked in there, I was able to get gas in there quickly, and the look, I'll never forget the looks on the people's faces. They were almost shocked that this was happening in there. And that's when I decided, you know, I am getting gas and things here. I thought I was doing a favor by supporting that local economy, and I felt terrible. I just had to go, and I got out, and I went down to the Keys. But I'll never forget seeing that and photographing that. If I can find those pictures, I'll post them online. But it was real eye-opening to me that, you know, hey, this can happen anywhere to anybody. These people didn't wake up one day and say, well, this is going to happen to me because I live in Homestead or Florida City. It just happened to them. And we have to understand that this stuff can. We live in denial if we think that, you know, how many times, Dave, have you and I talked about bad things do happen to good people? I don't care if you live in a gated community. You can get hurt. And if you fail to accept and understand that it can be you, more than likely, evil is going to hunt you down because that's what evil is looking for, somebody who's living in denial. True?
Yeah. And that's, you know, the only thing to fear is fear itself. I mean, come on. That guy Roosevelt really had it. and he knew what we were talking about. And he's been gone for, what, 70 years? He understood, I think, human nature when he said that. The only thing to fear is fear itself. And as we were discussing earlier, come on, you guys. This is the United States. We do stuff. We don't sit around and whine about it. We do stuff. Whenever there's a natural disaster anywhere around the world, who's there first?
We're there.
We are.
We're there. Well, Dave, you mentioned fear is to fear. It's the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. You quoted that. Let me give the rest of that quote. Most people don't know the rest of that quote. So first of all, let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself, nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror, which paralyzes needed efforts to convert retreat into advance. Brilliant prophetic words by Roosevelt.
Yeah.
And you mentioned that was the inauguration speech over 87 years ago. March 4th, 1933, when Franklin Delano Roosevelt told the country that, and most people stop at the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. They don't go into the rest of that and finish that quote, which is so relevant to today. Because what he was saying was, we're going to get so scared, we're going to be paralyzed, and we're not going to be able to do anything. We're not going to be able to move.
Yeah.
All because we're afraid of something that we're afraid of the fear of. And that's what's happening today when you see this mass hysteria, which is what I just... You know, I am convinced that as soon as another story pops, because it's happened every time since, that it's going to happen in this case as well, too. But in the meantime, you do need to be prepared. I hope you are. Dave, when we come back, I want to shift gears. National Rifle Association has canceled its meetings. And our good friend, dear friend, Alan Gottlieb, has got a couple of what I'll say press releases put out. So when we get back here inside the GunBroker.com studios, we're going to go over a couple of those, and I want to talk with Dave about the National Rifle Association meeting being canceled and what, if any, implication there is to that. I don't know if there is or not, but we're going to find out. We're going to talk with Dave Workman about that from Bellevue, Washington, in the Second Amendment Foundation offices right after this. Don't go away.
Defender Coffee was created by patriots for patriots. It's coffee for Americans devoted to defending the Second Amendment. It's coffee for Americans who understand that if you don't fight for your freedom, you lose it. That's why Defender Coffee donates 100% of profits to gun rights organizations that fight to defend the Second Amendment. When you drink Defender Coffee, every single cup defends your right to keep and bear arms. Visit DefenderCoffee.com today and join the coffee club while you're there. DefenderCoffee.com.
Back to Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
Oh, man, we are already in segment three. It's Friday. You know what that means? That means we're gearing up for the Monster Cast coming up on Sunday, no doubt about that. I'll tell you a little bit about our sponsors when we come back in the next break. But we've got a lot going on here at Armed American Radio. Check out the Armed American Radio Facebook page. You'll see the new really cool graphic about the Armed American Radio Video News Desk. That's coming soon for your 2A shot of the day coming from the AAR Video News Desk. That's all coming. Lots of fun stuff. Let's go back to Dave Workman. Dave, welcome back inside the studios with me. Pleasure to have you here, as always, brother.
Well, it's always nice to chat with you, Mark, especially on a Friday. The past several days for all of us, I think, have been a learning experience. Aside from the fact that people, I don't understand where they get the medical connection between a virus and a lot of toilet paper, but I just, we laugh, and I guess it's nice to be able to laugh, and maybe that'll cheer up the listeners and remind them that, hey, you know, this is America, we fix stuff. It's also kind of a strange phenomenon because the last several days, I think we've seen things that we never thought possible, and we've seen some things that we certainly expected. And right before we went to the break, you mentioned one of those, the National Rifle Association, announced late yesterday that it was canceling its 149th annual members meetings and exhibits in the city of Nashville. And, I was on the NRA board back in 1999 when the meetings, the annual meetings and exhibits were canceled down in Denver, Colorado, because it was like, I don't know, 10 days or 2 weeks after the Columbine tragedy. And, we all understood that. The board right. flew down because by law, we had to have that meeting. This time around, if you recall, the city of Nashville was hammered, I think about 3 weeks ago, by a tornado, a terrible tornado. Several people were killed.
Just last week. Just last week is what we're talking about.
Oh, it was just last week. Things have been so crazy, you lose track of time. But let's put this in perspective. My name isn't Joe Biden, and I'm not voting for me. So, and I don't think you're up. Anyway, the whole thing, it's almost, where we've kind of stepped into the twilight zone here. I was at that meeting in Denver, very somber down there. I think that this year it would have been a very somber meeting if it was held in Nashville because of everything that's been going on. Not just the controversy within the NRA, but the last couple of weeks since this coronavirus thing erupted, I bet you that a lot of people would have just decided to stay home because of the fear of being in a hall with maybe 80,000 other people, fine, good, upstanding American citizens, but we never know which one of them is carrying a germ.
Dave, do you listen real quick? How many times I came home with the SHOT Show crud? happens in every single one of those events. Our good friend Alan usually comes home from that event. So, I mean, we would have had very down attendance.
SHOT Show crud. Yeah. In fact, there have been times when I've come home from the SHOT Show, and I could hardly walk for that couple of days because I was just so damn sick. And, that's what you get when you're wandering around with tens of thousands of people that you don't see but once a year. So I think in the long run, it may have been it will be seen as having been not only the right thing to do, but the thing you could not have not done, especially
Agreed.
Since the governor of Tennessee declared the whole state an emergency. So,
you're right. You're correct about that. It absolutely was a smart thing for the National Rifle Association to do, if not for only one thing. And that was the attendance was going to be way, 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 way down. Now, I would have been there, and but that's me. I had a feeling this was going to happen. I didn't expect, after having a couple conversations yesterday, and the day before, in fact, that we were, in fact, going to see an NRA convention. I just didn't see it. In fact, I understand the United States Concealed Carry Association's meetings were canceled a couple days prior to, or a day
that's
prior
right,
to the NRA's as well. So
yeah,
that was
done
in a much, much smaller event.
Yeah, smaller event, but still, I think the USCCA was going to be where? Kansas City, if I recall correctly.
Kansas City, and they probably have around 5,000 to 10,000 people tops. So.
But
that's
still
thousands of people in one small room.
Yeah, and you know, it's too bad, but Tim Schmidt and those guys, they knew what they were doing. I think they made the right call. And I'm with you. We were here at because we always have a booth at the NRA, the Second Amendment Foundation, and the Citizens Committee do. And we were sitting around here early this week, seriously wondering if we should even decide to go, because you're going to be stuck on an airplane going there and back again with a whole lot of people who may be germ carriers, and the idea that the NRA would probably cancel. Or there was a good possibility, did come up. And sure enough, yesterday afternoon, very late, at least in the day for us, I was notified via email, and I immediately knocked out some stories. And I saw a couple other of the firearms-type blogs and news outlets did the same thing. And so, here we are. I think at some point, we're going to find out that the NRA board will gather for a meeting, or maybe they'll have a teleconference, or however the hell they do that stuff nowadays. But they will have their required by law meeting, and we'll just pick up and go from there.
It's interesting. While we were talking, I checked my email, which dinged in. Dear Mark, the record of your hotel cancellation for the 149th NRA annual meetings and exhibits. The reservation was canceled on March 13th, your cancellation number is 96002. Please retain this number as evidence of. Because I booked through the National Rifle Association meeting. So, listeners, if you were attending, if you were one of the 86,000, you might not have heard this. This is the public service announcement. You've gathered from listening that the National Rifle Association meeting has, in fact, been canceled. If you booked through the website, which thousands of you did, you don't have to do anything. The National Rifle Association Housing Bureau is canceling. You are not being charged one penny, and if you did have to put down one night's room, which I think I did, that will automatically come back to you. You are not going to be penalized in any way, shape, or form. As far as airlines, I was flying on Delta. I had a great flight for $180 round trip, which is why I decided to fly instead of drive the 4 hours to Nashville from Atlanta. However, I'm pretty certain that Delta will probably work with me on that flight, and even if they don't, I'll just keep it open and apply it to another flight in the future. But either way, that's that, and the National Rifle Association meeting is history. Dave, when we come back, there's a lot of other things going on out here in gun world. Joe Biden has just announced the Beto O'Rourke campaign manager has been hired high level in his campaign now. This is the individual who was working on Beto O'Rourke's "Hell Yes, I'm Going to Come Take Your Guns Away." And I'd like to get your opinion on this Biden deal, and in a way, because I want to phrase it to you in a way like I got a little bit of pushback from Mr. Gottlieb, who said, I'm going to disagree with you a little bit there, and we're getting ready to take a break. So when we come back, I'll explain it to you, but I'll give you this to chew on during the break and think about it. Beto O'Rourke couldn't get 2% of his own base with the "Hell Yes, We're Going to Come Take Your Guns Away." What makes Biden think that running on that platform is somehow a solid idea when it didn't play well for Beto O'Rourke's own base, and he couldn't make it any farther into the campaign than he did. I want to hear from Dave Workman and find out some thoughts on that, and that's what we'll do in the final segment to wrap up Armed American Radio's Daily Defense from the GunBroker.com studios here on this Car Arms Platinum microphone on a Coronavirus Friday. Nothing stops this show. And nothing stops freedom. We'll be back right after this.
Car, the 25th anniversary K9 and the venerable P9 in various configurations. Magnum Research, the classic Desert Eagle available in 50, 44, 357, and the new 429 DE calibers. The BFR, biggest, finest revolvers, and the Magnum Light. Auto Ordnance, the classics, Thompson, that's right, the Tommy Gun, the incredible M1 carbine, and the one and only classic 1911. Car Firearms, a family of brands standing for your family's freedom.
The North American Arms 32 NAA Guardian Pistol, designed in partnership with Convor Ammunition. The 32 NAA fires a cartridge based on the 380 case, but necked down to hold the smaller 32 bullet. The result is a remarkable gain in ballistic performance that produces more velocity, energy, and stopping power than any conventional 32 ACP, 380 ACP, or 380 ACP plus P. The 32 NAA from North American Arms. For more information, please visit NorthAmericanArms.com. That's NorthAmericanArms.com.
It's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. I'm Alan Gottlieb, founder of the Second Amendment Foundation. When someone says, we don't need that kind of gun, remind them the Founding Fathers determined what rights our Constitution should protect. There's a world of difference between rights and needs. It is not the function of government to tell us what we need or what we don't. Certainly no one needs an assault rifle or a Saturday Night Special, or for that matter, no one needs a Corvette with a high-capacity horsepower engine capable of speeds to 150 miles per hour. But in the hands of honest, responsible individuals, we have the right of choice. We have the right to read books others don't like. We have the right to listen to any radio program we choose. We have the right to dress the way we want to. We also have the right to own firearms of our choice. So the next time someone tells you, you don't need something, tell them it's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. Join the Second Amendment Foundation today so that this message and our Bill of Rights might live. Call 425-454-7012. That's 425-454-7012. 454-7012.
Celebrating 20 years in business, GunBroker.com is the world's largest online marketplace to buy and sell firearms, ammunition, and accessories. With over 1 million auctions daily, you can expect to find a limitless number of top brand names on GunBroker.com. Sellers, you can reach nearly 5 million registered users on GunBroker.com. And buyers, you can buy with confidence knowing GunBroker.com respects your privacy and is the only online marketplace offering buyer's protection. Buy or sell your next firearm on GunBroker.com today.
The Gun Box is the ultimate quick and accessible handgun safe, ideal for securing your firearm while not carrying on your person. Our cutting-edge technology and innovative safety features provide peace of mind while storing your handgun on the nightstand, desk, countertop, or anywhere you might need fast access. With the simple swipe of a finger, press of a custom key code, or the wave of an RFID card or fob, the Gun Box opens in seconds. Our modern design and sleek lines not only make it a great addition to any space, but is the perfect reason to bring your everyday carry gun out from hiding in the closet or the basement safe. Asking yourself, will my concealed carry weapon fit in the Gun Box? The answer is yes, as the Gun Box fits most full-size handguns with the room to spare for extra magazines, a blade, and other items you carry for protection. The Gun Box was designed to be your go-to gun safe and is absolutely the best alternative for fast and reliable handgun storage. Visit us at thegunbox.com and use code AAR at checkout for 10% off any purchase of $259. Order your Gun Box today at thegunbox.com and use code AAR for 10% off.
America was founded through the blood of hard-fighting, hard-drinking men. Men who believed in freedom and whiskey. Who laid down their lives and their fortunes, forging the bedrock of this republic, and in doing so created a new species of man, the American. Lead Slinger's Whiskey was founded by seven combat veterans who were tired of people afraid to support the Second Amendment. Together, they brought their love of American bourbon whiskey to freedom-loving, like-minded Americans. For more information and to read the story of Lead Slinger's Whiskeys and Rum, visit LeadSlingersWhiskey.com today.
The following segment of Armed American Radio is being brought to you by Defender Coffee. When you drink Defender Coffee, you're making a donation to a gun rights organization of your choice that protects and defends your freedoms. Welcome back to the show. Indeed, welcome back inside the GunBroker.com studios on the Car Arms Platinum microphone. It could be argued that I had too much Defender Coffee earlier today, and let me give a shout-out to all my sponsors of the daily program, please. Lead Slinger's Whiskey, Second Amendment Foundation, Crossbreed Holsters, come on. My Pillow, thank you for sleeping and supporting the Second Amendment with My Pillow. That's a beautiful thing. Car Arms Microphone, GunBroker.com Studios, North American Arms, Bursa. I don't have the gun yet, but I was talking with the dealer, as I mentioned yesterday, so I'll be doing something about that real soon, and I'm excited about that. And, of course, Emerson Knives. Emerson Knives working in conjunction with myself and, of course, GunBroker.com to put together a really nice giveaway package for you here coming up soon. Lots and lots and lots of great stuff building as we build the Armed American Radio media empire that you deserve. Ooh, let's go back. That's fun. It's a lot of work. Let's go back to Dave Workman. Dave, as I mentioned in the previous break, let me start with this, and I'll go to our good friend A.W.R. Hawkins. Biden hires gun control point man, Beto O'Rourke's campaign manager, and reminds us of this. Here's what Biden said on November 7th, 2019. Folks, look, I would buy back assault weapons. We already started talking about that. We tried to get it done. I think it can be done, and it should be demanded that we do it, and that's a good expenditure of money. Of course, just the other day when Biden, Dave, was confronted by a union, a construction worker, auto worker, who would normally have been the Democrat base, at least prior to the last election, when he was confronted and said, you're going to take our guns away, man. Biden looked at him and with evil eyes told him he was full of S, and then went on a tirade, said it was a lie. Yet I just quoted him. Has Biden not gotten the memo that everybody before him, including the campaign manager that he's hired, has failed in this respect, Dave?
Well, apparently so. I think, what about a month, 2 months ago, you and I discussed Joe Biden. And I think in an increasing frequency, Joe is starting to show some signs that he may not be exactly sure what's going on. I worry about the guy. I really do. You know, he's been around forever. He's been in politics forever. To tell a guy when you're surrounded by hard hats, to tell one of the hard hats, hey, you're full of it rhymes with spit, ladies and gentlemen. That's just not the way for a presidential candidate, somebody who wants their votes, to be treating these people. And quite honestly, I was stunned. I listened to that video. Yeah. And watched that video, I think about 5 or 10 times anyway, just to make darn sure what it was I was listening to. And he actually did say that. And then later on, I don't know, about a half a minute later, he told the guy to stop acting like a horse's patoot, although he used a three-letter word for that. And he indicated that he might even like to take the guy outside. Biden is... he's really pushing his luck with some of these people because they're not going to vote for somebody who stands there and tries to bull his way out of an argument which he started, actually. He's really in an indefensible position because weeks ago, months ago, he was talking about banning assault rifles, whatever the hell those are, making sure that people didn't have high-capacity magazines, whatever those are. He embraced Beto O'Rourke at that event down in Dallas right before the debate down there because he was getting Beto's nomination and or his endorsement. And then he turns around and says, yeah, you know, you're going to be my point guy. You're going to be my main man on taking care of this gun problem. And now he's hired the guy that was running Beto's campaign. Listen, I'm sorry, Joe. If you're listening, Mr. Biden, you got to understand something. We may only look stupid, but we understand exactly what's going on. And you're not going to bully us anymore. You're not going to lie to us about your position on guns and the Second Amendment. I don't care if you got a shotgun that you can run outside on your deck and fire a couple of times in the air to scare off burglars. In most places, that's a gross misdemeanor. It just doesn't wash. And this business, but yeah, I'm a gun owner. I own a 20-gauge shotgun. I own a 12-gauge shotgun. You know, for a real gun owner, you're pretty under-equipped. But for him to try to say that stuff, it's an insult to the average guy's intelligence.
I don't know. I can't figure out when he tells somebody, because the Democrat base, they've always claimed, they've laid claim to the union employees. They've laid claim to that individual. That individual left the Democrat Party and put Trump in office. Those were, of course, known back in the 80s as Reagan Democrats. And they, mm-hmm. For Joe Biden to do that to what is such a core constituency is mind-boggling to me. Now, there is news breaking right now as we speak. Dave, and you're in Washington. Your illustrious Democrat Governor Inslee is speaking right now as we speak. Washington State closing all schools for 6 weeks due to COVID-19. And at the exact same moment that is happening, I just got a news release from your office and from the organization of which I sit on the board with you and others, the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms. The CCRKBA cautioned law enforcement today that the coronavirus emergency should not be used as an excuse to suspend the process required for the issuance of renewal of concealed carry permits or licenses by any law enforcement agency. Allen goes on to talk about the fact, and I quote him now, "We've received reports from members and concerned citizens, especially in Washington State." David, does it surprise you that what he's referring to here is the Democrats in positions of power using this COVID-19 as a way to suppress people's right to keep and bear arms, particularly in your state?
Well, it does kind of surprise me. I talked to a sheriff's department earlier because I'm working on a story right now about this subject for Ammoland. And it surprises me because the sheriff's departments are actually, you know, the sheriffs are elected. They're elected by the people, and they understand who puts them in office. The idea that they've got to suspend taking applications for concealed pistol licenses because they don't want to be in close proximity to somebody while they're fingerprinting them, you know, it sounds good. However, as Alan said in this news release, and he and I were talking about it earlier, does that mean that they're not fingerprinting robbery and rape suspects? I mean, come on.
Right, right, right. Who they have a lot more concern about catching something gnarly from other than COVID-19 any day of the week, meth tweakers. Look, his statement here is right smack on the money at the close this release out. President Trump's declaration of a national emergency doesn't put our Constitution on hold. And, you know, CCRKBA out of your office in Washington also last week put out a press release earlier this week, I should say, not last week, regarding North Carolina's recent passage of emergency powers where individuals cannot have their Second Amendment rights taken away from them because the governor declares a state of emergency in any given state. We're protected by that here in the state of Georgia, thank goodness, and other states have done the same thing, where once the governor says a state of emergency, they suspend your right to bear arms. And that cannot and never will be acceptable in this republic, Dave. Never. Go ahead with the last couple minutes we got.
Well, I think that's right. Alan and I chatted about this, and he was talking about something that
30 seconds.
Has been. It's all over social media out here, and so I've done some snooping around. I'm putting a story together, as I said, and you know we'll see how this shakes out. But you can't suspend the process because in state statute it says they've got to accept these things during business hours. Sorry.
Business hours.
To see how this one shakes out.
Oh, we certainly are, and I can't wait to have you back on, particularly because you're out there in Washington, which, as you know, is getting a lot of news because of this. Dave Workman from the CCRKBA Second Amendment Foundation. I don't have enough time to give you his entire resume, but I'm going to see you on the MonsterCast coming up in 2 days. Until then, enjoy the rest of your day. Wash your hands and get your face out of the news. Live your life. The life still goes on outside you, okay? Go see the blue sky. It's still there. See you Sunday.